before they can enter. So, as I said, I know that in our vast audience, we've got to have somebody who knows something about this, and we're all waiting to hear from you. In our audience, I know we have vampires who have to be invited in, or they cannot go into a house. They can't just invade a house. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin. This is Bob from just outside of Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Yes, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
Hey, this is pretty interesting. And the first time, by the way, that I've heard of any of this. But, do you remember who I am?
Yes.
With the rainbow and the black.
Right, I remember.
I think this is just my own personal experience and opinion on this. I think that this is completely possible, as far as these kids with the eyes being of the demonic realm. Kevin, I think in my opinion, something has been unleashed on the earth, and we've been warned about it. There's information about it. But and I can only relate my own personal experience.
Do you think that these kids, when you say you think it's possible, what kind of a rating do you give it? Like 1 to 10, with 10 being it's true.
As far as that goes, is the demonic realm and the supernatural know-how that's available, is I have to give it a 10.
Okay, so you have confidence personally that this story is true.
And maybe not like it's being reported, but the possibility of children being used by the demonic realm is, look, what happened to me is that thing jumped into my body. I felt it. I experienced it. I don't need to watch TLC and everything else and, all the stuff that's out there. I've lived through this past year.
But did your eyes turn black?
No, I think that this is a demonic possession of sorts, and maybe we can relate it to, like, the Archons, written in the, forbidden books, you might say. In that context, I think that's what's going on, is we have real evil, that the reins have been loosened a little bit. And I'm afraid personally that we haven't seen anything yet.
All right, now let me ask you this: what about the deal where they don't just sort of push their way on into the house? If you say no and you close the door, they'll go away. But as long as you stand there and tell them no, they get more and more angry and insistent, but they will not push their way in. Now, why is that?
I think everybody has to have that sense that, I heard the flight and fight and flight response.
Yeah.
Which is, we can't ignore the intuition that's given to us. And I think that we need to scrap what we think we know and listen to that intuition a little bit more. Kevin.
Yeah, but why don't they push their way in if they're insisting that you let them in? Why is it they don't force their way in?
I think that's kind of cheesy myself because, when I bought this house back a couple years ago, I anointed it, with oil that I prayed over myself. And I assumed this house to be safe, only to find 18 months later a black spirit coming through the door and, attacking me twice. Mm-hmm. And, the story. If you remember,
yeah.
I lost 44 pounds from that. Well, I think it, when it gets down into these cheesy rules, that's baloney. Is the evil that's unleashed on the planet right now doesn't need an excuse.
Okay, so you think that part of the story is not correct?
I don't think it needs a permission in the sense that it's being insinuated.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I think that the supernatural power is so cunning that people do things unbeknownst to them on themselves what they're really doing,
uh-huh.
what they're participating in, and And I think that there's probably a bunch of ancient truths that mankind has lost, you know, throughout time. And unfortunately, we're on the fast track to finding out how to survive this.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, Bob, I appreciate the call. We have to move on. We have another call coming in. Interesting, very interesting observations. And, you know, I don't know. As I said, I have that today is the first time I've heard of this. I had something else planned to talk with you about tonight. We may get a chance to get to it. But when I ran into this information, I said, I got to go to the air with this. I got to find out what people think about this. And quite seriously, I want to know what you think about it, because I respect your opinions. That's one thing that we always do here. I respect your opinions. I may agree with them, I may not agree with them, but I always respect your opinions. And I'm always amazed at how much I learn from you who call. So, the black-eyed kids, again, you know, I've heard of the indigo kids. I've heard of star children. But this seems to be the flip side, and I'd like to know what you think about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Yes, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Outstanding. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with Brent and the last caller. I think there's some type of evil force being unleashed onto us. If you think about it, if the indigo children are true, and they're being sent here to save us, then the opposite force of evil is being released, and there's a type of children being released maybe to fight that.
So what
balance?
What do you think about the statement that the idea that if you don't invite them in, they don't push their way in?
Maybe it's some kind of spiritual thing, you know, that they sense that spiritual power, and they can't physically do anything against you unless you invite them in.
What do you think their purpose would be?
I have no idea. You know, this is something. This is the first time I've heard about this that you mentioned it. And, you know, I'm open to the idea that this is a possibility. And as it is, you know me, I kind of tend to stay in the middle of these things until there's enough evidence one way or the other to pull in that direction.
Well, now, you run AlienSeekerNews.com, and you have lots of people who post on there, and you've got some of the premier writers in the United States, and I guess out of the United States as well, just some of the premier writers in the realm of the paranormal who are posting articles for you now and writing for you, and you're saying this is the first time you've heard of this.
Yeah, this is the first time I ever heard anything about this.
Well, me too, and that's why I was so shocked by it.
Well, there's so much out there, you know, you just can't hear about everything, and I don't know how long this has been out there and going on.
Yeah, I have no idea the exact date that this article was posted. It was posted over at UFO Digest, and but I would think it was posted sometime in 2006.
Is this supposed to be a brand new occurrence that just recently started happening?
It kind of sounds that way. Listen to this and see what you think about it. It says, one such phenomena is the growing number of stories regarding the so-called black-eyed kids. Well, I haven't seen a growing number of stories about it. This is the first one I've seen. But, I mean, it's certainly strange, and, you know, it's presented as a journalistic piece. It's not presented as fiction. And UFO Digest has a good reputation, as does Alien Seeker News. And so, you know, I have
to... It's certainly eerie. I know that. And like I said, you know, it is a strong possibility to think about it, because all things balance out in nature. Everything comes in pairs, good, evil, you know, bad, good. If you think about it, if we're being sent into this, if our souls are being born into this life as indigo children to possibly save the world or help us, you know, then the evil side might be sending in these new forces to these dark-eyed children.
Yeah, the flip side.
Yeah, the flip side is bringing about evil.
Yeah. Don, I appreciate the call. We're into a break here in just a couple of seconds. And but very, very interesting thought. Maybe it is, in fact, just the flip side of the indigo phenomena. We'll be back on the other side of this break with more of the Kevin Smith Show, and I am absolutely starving to hear what you've got to say about this phenomena. Show.com, and we appreciate them for providing the music. We're talking about these black-eyed kids. We're not talking about kids that have been in a fight, because in fact, when we talk about kids that have been in a fight, we say he's got a black eye. What we're really talking about is that he's got a bruise around his eye. These are kids, according to this report, whose eyes, the actual eye, is black. No pupil, no iris that you can discern, because it's all black. The report that we've been talking about says that there's a growing number of these accounts, these encounters, and people who encounter these kids are absolutely terrified. They have a fight-or-flight instinct, and sometimes they're sort of paralyzed, sort of frozen in place because of the fear. And yet there's no account that these kids have actually done anything to anybody. What do you think about this? Who are these black-eyed kids? There is also in this article a statement that says that vampires have to be invited into your house before they can enter your house. I have asked for some vampires listening to the show to call and tell us if that's true or not. I don't know if the vampires who listen to the show have been struck with avian flu and are now turning into chickens, but nobody's called. And they used to call quite freely. I don't know why you would be afraid to call now. We want to know the truth about that statement. Is it true that vampires have to be invited into one's house, or they cannot enter? And the telephone number to call is 1-800-289-1092. We're about to take our break at the top of the hour. When we come back from that break, I'm going to move on to some Planet X news, and pretty interesting, pretty powerful stuff. But if a vampire scrapes up the courage to dial the phone, we'd like to hear from you. 1-800-289-1092. Even after this break, I'll take a call from a vampire. We'll be back, folks. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and a special welcome to all of you who are just now joining us. We've had a pretty interesting discussion about a phenomena I had never heard of before, and that phenomena is called the black-eyed kids. I won't get into it now, but if you know something about that phenomena, please call us. We still would love to hear from you. It is open line live, and that means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. We don't have to talk about what is on my mind. So if there's something interesting in the realm of the paranormal or just weird and unexplained that you'd like to discuss, we'll be more than happy to hear what you've got to say and to discuss it. And the way you do that is you give us a call. The telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-289-1092. And that's toll-free throughout the continental United States and Canada. If you live outside of the continental United States, if you live outside of Canada, you can send us a flash message and participate in the discussion. The flash message is just an email, and you send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. If you send it to any other of our email addresses, I will not even see it until after the show. So be sure if you want to participate in the show and you live outside our toll-free area, send me a flash message at 1-800-flash@kevinsmithshow.com. The toll-free number, 1-800-289-1092. Well, what about Planet X, folks? Is it real? Planet X, also known by many people as Nibiru. Is it real? Is it coming? Is it within range where people can see it? There's been a couple of interesting things that have happened fairly recently. Having to do with Planet X, one of the things that's happened is over in Italy, there is an encyclopedia for teenagers that mentions the planet Nibiru and its inhabitants, the Anunnaki. So it's in an encyclopedia, and it's a hardbound encyclopedia, 317 color pages, subdivided in seven sections. And so it's, you know, it's a serious work. And here is, from page 223, a paragraph entitled, "The Tenth Planet is Not News." Translating from Italian into English, it says that the solar system has, when you count all the planets, it has, besides Tiamat and Nibiru, the last one would be farthest, would be the farthest planet in the system. So the solar system counted all the planets we know, besides Tiamat and Nibiru. All right, so you know, it's treating it seriously. And it talks about the planet. This is put out by the Italian Institute, let's see, Istituto Geografico de Agostini. And it says that talks about Nibiru, and it talks about the Anunnaki, but it does not mention Zechariah Sitchin. I find that interesting because it is the work of Zechariah Sitchin that brought knowledge of Planet X, of Nibiru, to you and I. It is the work of Zechariah Sitchin. I had someone on the radio that said, on this show, that said, oh, it goes back way back beyond Zechariah Sitchin. This information has been out there. Yeah, but it's nobody did anything to try and bring that information to us. Zechariah Sitchin did, and I think he deserves the credit for it. In addition to this Italian encyclopedia for teenagers that treats the existence of Nibiru as though that's not even news. In fact, that's what it says. This is not news. This is not something new. In addition to that, coming from Italy, there is a guy by the name of Cristoforo Barbato, born in 1972, in Naples. And he's a freelance writer. And he's begun writing and speaking about Planet X, the return of Planet X, and the activity of a alleged intelligence agency composed of Jesuit priests called Servizio Informazioni del Vaticano. And that means the Vatican Intelligence Service. Now, a lot of people have supposed that such a thing existed, but he's saying that he's got reliable information, very reliable information, from inside of that agency, that Planet X, Nibiru, is returning. And they not only are they saying that it's returning, they have some videotape taken through one of the Vatican's observatories showing what is purported to be this returning Planet X. So we got a couple of things going now. A couple of things going here with Planet X. It's being treated sort of mainstreamed in Italy in this encyclopedia. And you've got this Italian freelance writer who's writing about and talking about and doing seminars and showing the video all about Planet X. And the information, he says, comes from inside this Italian intelligence agency that is called Servizio Informazione del Vaticano, Vatican Intelligence Service. What do you think? Is this real? Now, I don't have any problem with the information presented by Zechariah Sitchin, where he talks about a planet, Nibiru, that comes in through our regular solar system that we are familiar with every 3,600 years. Now, I did talk with an astronomer who told me at one point that, and this was several years ago, that, you know, there's nothing orbiting the Earth that far out. Well, what about the two planetoids that were discovered beyond Pluto? One of them on a 10,500-year orbit. That's even greater than, that orbit is even greater than Nibiru. Nibiru is 3,600 years. And I forget, I think it's the one they're calling Xena. I think that's the one. 10,500 years to make an orbit around the sun. So if we have something out there orbiting the sun at 10,500 years, certainly we could have something at 3,600. It's supposed to have a great elliptical orbit, highly inclined as compared to the plane of the orbits of all the other planets we know about in our solar system. Now, you may or may not be aware of the fact that Pluto itself has a weird elliptical orbit, inclined quite a bit above the planes of the planes of the rest of the planets. But Nibiru is said to be even more so, and it only passes through our solar system every 3,600 years. We have on the show tonight people saying something is going on this planet. People are saying, not just on this show, but I've seen it on television as well, people are saying something's up, something's going on. You can sense it, you can feel it. It's as if different forces have been turned loose on the planet. Yes. I would agree with that. I would agree that it seems so. It seems odd, strange, and out of joint, sort of. But the question is that connected with the return of Nibiru? As Nibiru approaches, if those who follow Zechariah Sitchin are correct. As Nibiru approaches, are these strange things sort of precursors of what's coming? We talked about these black-eyed kids, and you know, the strange phenomena that they represent. I'm still waiting to hear from a vampire. Haven't heard any vampires yet. I'm still waiting to hear from a vampire as to whether the vampire can come into your house without your invitation. Because the article about the black-eyed kid says they will not, if you don't invite them in, they don't push their way in. And the writer of the article said, well, we know that, you know, vampires cannot come in your house unless you invite them in. I had not heard of these black-eyed kids phenomena, and I had not heard that about vampires, and I still would like to know if that's true. The only way to find out is for one of you vampires to call and tell us if it's true. And, you know, the telephone works for you just like it does for anyone else. 1-800-289-1092. But, you know, when you add all of this up, okay, we have an Italian freelance writer who has a source inside the Vatican Intelligence Service who is telling him that Planet X has been located and is incoming, and has provided him with video showing Planet X, allegedly. Okay, now in the article I'm looking at, there's actually a still shot from the video, and it's actually very interesting. If that is Planet X, if that is Nibiru coming in, and we're at this time also getting a whole lot of these indigo children, and now we've got these black-eyed children that seem to engender a sense of terror in people, is all of that connected? Is it connected? I mean, are these sort of precursors on the planet of the arrival of Nibiru? What do you think about that? Do you think that it has anything at all to do with Nibiru? And I also would like to know if you think that Nibiru is real or fiction. And why do you think it's real if you think it's real? Why do you think it's fiction if you think it's fiction? Now, I'm aware of the fact that we have a lot of folks listening on college campuses in dorms. There are sort of Kevin Smith Show fan clubs, kind of, that meet together and listen to the show and eat pizza and drink beer, or something of that sort. And, you know, you guys have sharp minds, and I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about all this stuff? Now, I've got a couple of flash messages here. Let me take a look at this one. And all right, here's one that says, I think it was Linda Thompson who broke the story that black-eyed adult guards were seen patrolling the Waco compound back in 1992 when all of those innocent folks were murdered. Maybe these adults were genetic constructs engineered underground and brought above ground to fulfill a mission by the New World Order to make those Branch Davidians look like evil people. When you conjecture that aliens are harvesting our genetic material via abductions and then aliens working underground with and without the New World Order, it makes sense to me. Think about it, Kevin. Well, I don't agree with what was done in Waco. I think that was not done well. By the same token, there's no possible way you could possibly think that David Koresh was an innocent individual. Hi, Kevin. This is another flash message. Hi, Kevin. I listened to a show about demons the other day on Ghostly Talk Radio. A woman named Carmen Reed was taken by an invisible entity for about 2 weeks and held by a demon. The demon was trying to get her to allow it in. The show was aired on 14 January 07. So that seems to be an indication that the invitation is needed. This flash message comes from Hobart, Tasmania. And let's see. Here's one that says, great topic tonight, Kevin. Just called my 55-year-old lady researcher friend in Wisconsin and told her what you were talking about. And she said Art Bell interviewed some general back in 1995 when Art had excellent shows, and the general said that he went out to some... I'm not going to read this name because it's the name of a company, but went out to some plant in California and saw black-eyed guards there. I think that these folks are genetic constructs engineered by the New World Order or some other race or races of ETs working with the New World Order at these underground installations. Okay, so that's two of those, and here's one that's just blank. No, it has a link in the subject line. Okay, so that's a lot of comment about the black-eyed kids. What do you think about that? Is it connected with this incoming planet? And is that incoming planet Nibiru? Is it the 10th planet? What do you think is up here, folks? The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. And even if you're not a vampire, I'd like to hear from you. No matter where you are, from sea to shining sea, whether you're in the United States, whether you're in Canada, or elsewhere in the world, we have a way for you to get in and participate in the show. Now, the way you get in and participate in the show is if you live in our toll-free area, use the telephone, 1-800-289-1092, and if you live outside of the toll-free area, use the flash message, flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from? I see. Okay. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe that was a vampire. I'm serious. I want to hear from a real, genuine vampire. This statement was made about vampires, that you have to be invited to come into a house. You can't just bust your way into the house. I want to know if that's true. I haven't heard that before. I'd like to know if that's true. And so I'm quite serious in inviting a vampire to call me. Won't be the first time, believe me. You won't be the first vampire to be on this show. The footage from of Planet X, the footage that is has been provided to Cristoforo Barbato is classified. It's classified Secretum Omega. And I'm not sure, but I think in Italian that would mean the last secret. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Michelle again.
Yes, Michelle.
Yeah, I just got a question for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
I usually get a chance to ask you a question.
Okay.
Okay, when you started this show way, way back there, 7 years ago, I think you said?
Yeah.
Did you see your UFO before or after it?
Oh, good question. Let me think about that. Well, yeah, the one that I saw a spectacular sight in the sky when I was about 7 or 8 years old. All I can tell you is that the sky, it was about 10 o'clock at night. The sky lit up like it was daytime, but it was a greenish light. And a thing flew over me and my family. And it was definitely not falling. It was not a meteor. It was flying parallel to the ground. Probably 1992, 93, somewhere along in there. I saw a triangular-shaped craft and watched it for several minutes at close range. And it was my wife, my kids, we all saw it. And then I went overseas, and it was overseas where I started the show.
Did you feel like you were driven to start the show? You know, like for some reason, because let's face it, I mean, you had lots of options to go in lots of directions.
You know, at the time, I would say no. I didn't feel driven at the time to start the show, but the it was definitely something I wanted to do, but I didn't feel driven to do it.
It just seems fun, you know. It just seems that I know myself now. I've been seeing UFOs all my life, and I forgot. Like I said, when I was younger, it was that, and that was it, eh?
Yeah.
As I got older. And back in the last 10 years or so, I started seeing them more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I can't get enough of information.
Well, you know, in sort of a weird kind of a weird cop way, I would say maybe you could say I felt driven. You see, evidence that I can go to court with and get convictions. Evidence of high quality that's admissible in court was being poo-pooed and shoved aside and ignored and ridiculed when it came to UFOs. As a cop, I have to wonder why.
Well, I want to thank you, Kevin. I just wanted to get a chance to have a couple of questions, like I say, at you before your big news. We probably won't get enough time to phone in.
Well, no, the big news is the black-eyed kids.
Oh.
And the FBI memo that, you know, it was alleged it was an FBI memo that came out on the internet about vampires.
You had some CIA guy on there talking about vampires, wasn't it? Or was it werewolves?
No, it was werewolves. I don't know that he's CIA. You're talking about Dr. Joseph Resnick?
That's it.
Yeah, I don't know that he is or is not. I honestly do not know. I do know that he has invented some very important things that are used in our defense. He is a scientist and an inventor, and he's invented some very high-tech important things that are used in our defense. But I doubt that he's CIA. I mean, I have no indication that he is.
Well, I just got the feeling he was something. Anyway, I just wanted to let a phone in there. I'm sorry I phoned in twice, but I said I'm going to ask him the question, guys.
Well, it's quite all right. You know, once an hour is fine.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
You bet. All right, folks, we'll be back right after these messages, and we'll continue talking about this thing with Nibiru, and is there some connection with these black-eyed kids? What a weird phenomena that is.
Came coming from far away.
welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and the very weird stuff we're talking about tonight. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from, please?
Hi, Kevin. This is Joe from New Orleans. I've talked to you before.
Oh, by the way, who that say going to beat them Saints?
I'm hoping nobody.
That's my team, man. I love the Saints.
Oh, God, I'm hoping they go all the way. No, I was just calling because, you know, I listen to people talk about Nibiru all the time, and it fascinates me in the fact that I think it could exist in one way, but when I do the physics on it, according to what the Sumerians say and several other writings since then, it seems like it doesn't work. I mean, a planet that passes around every 3,600, that's five times the size of planet Earth, I would figure either sooner or later it would cause major havoc here, or one of the outer planets at the very least would grab it. You know, Jupiter or Saturn. Now, what I find interesting is there is a debris field between Mars and Jupiter, roughly five times the size of planet Earth. Maybe that's actually Nibiru in today's state. I don't know, but I know when we really crunch the physics down, a major body that size passing through our solar system on any plane would wreak such havoc here that we would know about it before it even entered the solar system. The gravitational forces alone would be enough to start wreaking havoc on Earth long before it got here. And
so, well, let's see, that's what I think. Let's put some things together and see what you think. First of all, the Sumerians talk about that that's why Uranus is turned over on its side, and that there was a collision with Earth at one point, devastating collision. Then right now, all of the planets, not just Earth, all of the planets are going through global warming. We have satellites, the Pioneer satellites, that have taken a weird turn, and they're slowing down when they should be accelerating because they have left our solar system, what we know of our solar system. And I've asked the question on this show before, could it be an incoming Nibiru and the forces preceding it that are causing these effects?
It could be something along those lines, but see, that's another thing. That's a good point, but if it was something the size they say Nibiru is, we'd have probably lost the satellites. The wave would have probably crushed them at the very least. If it didn't, it would have sucked them into its own field, and they would have changed directions. So, you know, even that kind of makes you have to wonder. There's forces out there in the Oort cloud that we just don't understand, because I noticed they've talked on several occasions about different wobbles in the planets that shouldn't be there. Now, the measurements are different from time to time, which means it's either a body that's changing weight or different bodies at different times are exerting different gravity on the solar system. No one can really answer it because we've never really been out there and dug around. I mean, come on, we just found, what, two things out there about the size of Pluto that we had no idea was out there. I don't rule a big planet being out. I just rule it out the way they say it happens. Now, I'll tell you what else you can think about when it comes, if there's two ways to interpret the Sumerian text. One of it says it's a planet. The latest two interpretations say it was something else, that it does come around every 3,600 years. The interpretation says it was a large sphere-like object about twice the size of the moon that regularly appears about every 3,600 years. If that's true, since we talk about aliens all the time, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not actually a planet. Because I've heard on many of the legends where they talk about beings coming down to the planet and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is.
It could be.
That would make more sense because I know in the last 10,000 years of geology, we haven't had any major disasters such as, you know, a planet coming by that close, and no one such as the Chinese or the Egyptians have recorded it in the last 6,000 years. So we know it hasn't been around for at least 6,000 years, so we have to stop and think, is something happened to this planet, or is it something other than we originally thought it was? Just a thought.
Well, and you've made two very good points, one being the Oort cloud is, if you put it all together in one big clump, it'd be about the size, five times the size of Earth. And then maybe it's not a planet, maybe it is a gigantic spaceship.
I don't know.
Several civilizations refer to it as the winged planet.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them refer to it as the destroyer.
Yeah.
So apparently whatever it is has created some destruction because it's referred to as the destroyer.
Well, it is. I mean, that's one of the things, but I can't find any text that since the Sumerians 6,000 years ago that show any kind of destruction or any talking about it even. So you have to wonder, I mean, it's supposed to be on a regular orbit. According to all the texts, it's supposed to be on a regular orbit, at least 3,600 years. So you have to wonder, why haven't we seen it?
That's a good point.
It passed at least one time between now and the last 6,000 years, and there's no reports of it.
So you think it might be something similar to the Star Wars Death Star?
Well, for me, I do UFO research, so for me it's not beyond reason that somebody out there has a big old huge mothership, but you know, there's no way of real proving it unless one shows up, but it would make more sense that it's that because we haven't seen it in the last 6,000 years that it can stealth itself, because in the ancient times it wouldn't have had any reason to. Well, what reason people would have thought it was, a giant planet or some kind of deity in the sky or something? I mean, they wouldn't have had any words for spaceships or anything along that line.
Yeah.
But that's what's so interesting about the new translation is they said that three of the words were new words to the Sumerian language, and that they were improperly translated because they were new words. They were words added because of something they seen they could not explain. And that's what I found. But it's been released. It's out on the Internet now.
Well, now, let me ask you about these black-eyed kids. Mm-hmm. What's your theory about that? Have you ever heard of this before?
You know what, Kevin? I turned on the show because I was logging you onto the network, and I turned on the show, and I was about 20 minutes in, I heard you say that, and I happened to be chatting with a group of people on the Internet, and I actually put the show in so they could hear it. And I've heard a description of black-eyed aliens. I've even heard of hybrids having black eyes. But as far as the kids, when I heard that, that was a first. I was kind of taken back by that. I was like, that's what the whole reason I wanted to call in, because I wanted to know who was telling you that.
Well, let me give you the source. The source is an article that's on UFO Digest.
Okay.
It's an article written by Barry Napier, and I'm going to try and get Mr. Napier on the show and let him tell us what his sources are.
I'll have to tune in for that one.
I've never heard of it. But you know, the thing is written well, and it's in the article he gives the name of one of the sources, who is a journalist by the name of Brian Bethel. His experience happened to him in 1998. So you know, it seems to me the way it's written to be a genuine journalistic article. It's not. It's not fluff and puff, so I want to get him on find out about black-eyed kids.
Yeah, because that might be something new, or something new they're doing, or some new part of their agenda or something. Yeah, that's worth checking into, that's for sure. Yeah, because when I heard you say it on the show a few minutes ago, I was like, well, I got to call in and find out what he was talking about, because I only caught part of it, and I was like, well, I can't go off half-cocked here. And then I heard somebody call in and say something about demonic. He thought they were demonic, and then I definitely had to call in because I didn't know what y'all were talking about. And I said, well, I got to find out what they're talking about, because I said, just because they got black eyes doesn't mean they're evil. I mean, you know.
Well, the description is that there's no whites in their eyes. It's all black.
And sometimes I think there's two other descriptions in other aliens, including a human-type alien that has they're just... They're so black, they're reflective. They almost look empty, way a lot of people describe them when they see them. They said there's almost an empty feel to them. And when you look into them closely, you see yourself, which for some reason unnerves a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why, but that I've heard about in alien contact. I've just never heard about it in Star Children or Indigo Children or whatever everybody wants to put a name on them these days.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're Indigo Children. It's kind of the flip side.
They maybe there's something new they're trying.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, or maybe it's something someone else that we all know and love is trying.
If you run into one, Joe, I want you to bring him into the house and put him on the phone, and let's get together. I want to interview that kid.
You ain't the only one. Trust me, if I do, I'll call you.
Okay.
You're not the only one. I'll have to get you in touch. One of my hosts is going to be doing a show on vampires.
Good.
I'm going to go down and talk to the vampires down in the French Quarter.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I'll let you know what happened.
Outstanding. Well, you know, I talked to a whole lot of vampires before I did the show with Damien DeVille.
Mm-hmm.
And Damien was the most knowledgeable and, you know, just answered any question we asked him. And of the ones I talked to, he was the most knowledgeable. Well, and so, you know, if he's listening, Damien, give me a call. I want to know the answer to that question. Can vampires go into a house if they're not invited?
Well, good. I want to tell you thanks, man. You're doing great. I was enjoying the show. I just had to call in and harass you there.
Well, I appreciate it. And all the best to the Saints, man.
Oh, I will, and thank you, man. And one of these days, I'll give you a call. I want to catch up with you on some other stuff, but I'll wait till you're not working for that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thanks for the call. All
right.
All right, folks, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. You've been trying to get in. You can get in right now. The line is open. And although we have a new telephone system on its way to us, it has nothing to do with this line. So it has to do with the line that we bring the guests on. A different line, different system. 1-800-289-1092 is toll free throughout the continental United States and Canada. You know, it's a good point that Joe made about the about Nibiru. What do you think about that? We don't have any record of Nibiru coming through our solar system in the last 6,000 years, he says. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Tom from Kansas City.
Yes, Tom.
Hi, just talking about Nibiru.
Yeah.
And I just happened to get on the internet and checked about the telescope down in the South Pole.
Uh-huh.
And as of January 10th, they had it all put together. So maybe your pictures are right.
So maybe Planet X is incoming then?
It's a possibility. The story's always been that it's going to come from the south, and it was kind of interesting. They spent all the money to put this telescope down there, which it does have a good sight, because since there's a hole in the atmosphere, they can actually see real good out of the South Pole.
Well, what do you think about what the previous caller said? He said, since the Sumerians, it's been about, 6,000 years, there's no record of Nibiru coming through.
Well, it could be possible, but if the plane that they're talking about coming through from the south would be cutting across the plane of our planets,
yeah.
If it did come through our solar system, it would raise all kinds of heck, depending on how close to Earth it would be, but I don't think I'd want to be around when it came through.
Yeah. Well, do you know of any accounts of Nibiru coming through any time during the last 6,000 years? Because, you see, it's supposed to come through every 3,600 years. So there should have been one, at least.
Well, no, because if you look on the DNA there, last time the human race was actually cut down to, they say, around 1,000 people was 40,000 years ago. So there hasn't been a close call from it.
So what's your guesstimate on this? Do you let's do a scale of 1 to 10. Now, 1 means, no, there's no Nibiru, and 10, yes, it's real, and it's on the way. Where do you fall in that scale from 1 to 10?
I would say about 3.
Okay.
Rated very high that it was actually going to come through.
Do you think that it ever really existed?
Well, if it's crossing our plane instead of in orbit around our sun, if it's actually orbiting a black star, it could be, because it depends on how our solar system runs. But if it's sitting there orbiting our sun, then it would never come through anyway. The other planets would probably end up catching it before it ever makes it close to Earth.
Hmm. Okay. Well, it's Tom, right?
Yes.
How are things in Kansas City? Are you snowed in?
We didn't get much snow on the north side. They got quite a bit down south. A lot of ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a balmy probably 2 degrees.
Well, stay warm, and thanks for the call.
Yeah, they had the airport shut down here for a couple of days, so not too much is going on.
All right, man. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, folks. 1-800-289-1092. Do you have a different view on Nibiru? Is Nibiru in any way, if it's real, is it connected to the sudden appearance of these black-eyed kids? Now, apparently it's really not so sudden. I shouldn't say that it's sudden, because in the article, Mr. Napier refers to a journalist named Brian Bethel who encountered these black-eyed kids in 1998. So it's fairly recent, but it's not like new. It didn't just happen this week, okay? But what do you think about the connection, if there is one? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Brent again.
Yeah, Brent.
You're talking about videos and pictures.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you can't put the links on your site because of the idiots in Australia and Belgium.
Well, no. We are beginning to rebuild our links one at a time. We check to make sure that it's not a link to one of those prohibited sites.
You're going to put... I'd like to see if you can find it. Didn't somebody say the Japanese have a video or something of the brown dwarf that's supposed to be headed our way?
I don't know. This is the first time I've heard about a brown dwarf headed our way.
Well, I think it was... I don't know where I heard it, but supposedly our sun has a twin, has a sister star or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I've heard of that.
And somebody said that, I think somebody said they had, Japanese had a video of it or something like that.
Really?
I may be off.
Yeah.
But somebody has video of something coming into our solar system.
Well, I had not heard of that. I'll try to see if I can find out something about that. And those of you who search out things and send them to me all the time, that might be a good project for you. Kind of search that out and see.
If you could put a link to this picture you have of this Nibiru that you got the picture from the video.
Well, hang on just a second. Let me see if it's made it up on the website. I really don't know yet, but we'll see. Yeah. If you look down below our sponsors' banners,
mm-hmm.
You'll see the new information base. It only has two links on it now. We're doing them very carefully.
Okay.
But there's one that says Planet X Confirmation.
Okay.
And I think that's the one that will take you to the article that has a still shot off of that video.
Okay, thanks.
You bet. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number. And it is open, and if you've been trying to get in, this is a good time to do so. All of this together is just weird. I mean, right now, you know, we kind of went through a drought at the end of 2006. We went through a drought of strangeness in the media. I mean, just finding things that are going on. There wasn't much in the media about it. And then all of a sudden, we had the strangeness that we talked about last night of the media being silent about the fact that when the Mars Global Surveyor went silent, it also apparently went somewhere else. It's just gone. And then now, you know, we're beginning to get these stories about possibly Nibiru coming in and these black-eyed kids and a lot of strangeness out there in the mix right now. Caller, you're not part of the strangeness, I think. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Jerry from Indiana.
Yes, Jerry.
I may not be part of the strangest, but I've been told that I am strange. So
well, that, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
I wanted to comment on the discussion you've been having about Nibiru.
Yes.
For some time, this has troubled me quite a bit. There are quite a few references to Nibiru and the scholarly analyses of surviving Sumerian scripts, and it doesn't matter if you go to the Enuma Elish or any of the star catalogs or the religious writings, whatever, you'll find that Nibiru, the meaning of the word changed from one generation to the next. Nibiru doesn't mean a planet. It doesn't ever refer specifically to a single planet, Kevin. It's a metaphysical concept. Sitchin has it completely wrong, and any scholar of ancient non-Semitic languages and the Semitic languages can tell you this. Nibiru sometimes referred to Marduk, the god of, I'm sure you've heard that name before.
Sure.
It also referred sometimes to a star who was identified with the god, because the ancients, many ancient cultures, actually considered stars to be deities in and of themselves. Nibiru also means the plow star, a place of crossing. It was a metaphysical point in the heavens that connected heaven and earth, and the gods of the overworld, as opposed to the underworld, who were the Nephilim, or not the Nephilim, but the creatures that seek that Sitchin so often refers to in his
writing. The Anunnaki.
Yeah, the Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm.
The Nephilim were supposedly their offspring in his writings. That's another story altogether. But I think it's an entire mistake for people who are interested in the subject to place any credence in his work. And that's not a personal attack. I don't know the man, never met him. I think he's a very bright person, and he has some credentials in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew, but none in ancient Hebrew. And there's a very great difference, as I'm sure you know. And there's absolutely no connection between Hebrew and Sumerian.
Well, that's true. Sumerian was not a Semitic language at all.
No, it wasn't. The Akkadian languages that followed all the various dialects were. And they borrowed some of the alphabet and some of the grammar, but they were totally different. Nobody knows where Sumerian comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange language. It seems to have no precedent. The same is true of one other language I know of in South America. Is it the Amayan? Have you heard of that? The Amayan language?
No, I have not.
It has no precedent either in any modern tongue or ancient tongue that anyone can discover.
Can you hold on through this break?
Certainly.
I've got a couple of questions I'd like to ask you, but we are into a break. Folks, when we come out of this break, we'll be in for our final approach. So we probably will have time for one call. And I want to thank you for being with us. Stay with us, because I've got a big question I want to ask. We'll be back.
I know.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and as I said, I've got a big question I want to ask. Maybe it's not as big as I think it is, but if we were to strip the whole notion of Nibiru out of this discussion, and I've got a big question I want to ask. Maybe it's not as big as I think it is, but if we